The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm is now in session.
This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host today is Scott Van Ack, Senior SEO of Stepforth Web Marketing. Yes, John is slacking today and left me with a ball, so thanks to Scott, I'm not alone.
Yay!
I don't just hear my own voice, and you don't either. So, thanks. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome. Anything for you, Ross.
Yes, almost. Employees. They always, yeah.
You're the best.
No, yeah. So, today, we've got lots to cover. My goodness, lots of questions and lots of news. It's been an absolutely jam-packed couple of months of stuff going on with search. So we're going to try and scream through this. One thing I want to talk about first is, if you haven't checked it out, we got a new look on our Facebook page. That's at facebook.com/SEO101podcast. That's facebook.com/SEO101podcast. I put it together, I think, Friday. It was a blast, and so far, it seems to still be working out, so let me know what you think. Think it needs any additions, let me know. Thinking about changing the font on the 101 to something that's not going to look so much like LOL, someone brought to my attention. Although, you know, we do have fun, so hey, well, why not?
If you fill it with SEO knock-knock jokes, maybe it'll be appropriate.
Yes! Oh, you got to do that. You're much better at that.
Am I? Oh, crap. You're not going to make me think of one on...
No.
Okay, good. We're good then.
So let's start with, some news that came out today from Search Engine Roundtable, talking about how the search engine ranking pages, the SERPs, as we like to call them, there's been some changes going on in rankings. And since a lot of people have been paying attention quite closely since the Penguin update, the one that did cause a lot of sites to drop, there has been some changes recently, and they're all thinking, oh my God, this is Penguin 1.1. Now, to give you a little bit of background here, I'm going to jump down a bit to an interview with Matt Cutts on the aftermath of Penguin. It was on Search Engine Land, and here's a few key points. One, in quotes here, Penguin is not constantly running, but rather is used to tag things as spam above and beyond Google's regular spam filtering on a periodic basis. Now, I'm kind of surprised. I really thought that Penguin would be something running on a regular basis, kind of like Panda. Panda, to me, seemed like the most, intensive one, and it was running on a regular basis, so I figured there's no reason the Penguin wouldn't. In any case, what this means is... And this, again, another quote from Matt Cutts, one of the head engineers at Google. He says, he did say that typically a link warning is precursor to a ranking drop. For example, if the site fixes the problem and does a reconsideration request quickly enough, that might prevent a drop. That's as if there's a link warning. Not if your site is dropped around the 24th of April, chances are it was to do with Penguin. And Penguin, you cannot improve your rankings by doing a reconsideration request through Google if it was through Penguin, because Penguin's entirely algorithmic. It's just there's some problems with your site. It went down. Others went up. Could be, too, that your site stayed the same, but other ones did better and moved ahead above you. So all that means is you have to improve your site. If it was before that, or perhaps you got a link, unnatural link warning within your Google Webmaster Tools account, then this applies. So in that case, you fix the problem, get out there, fix those links that are bad. If you're buying links, get the hell out of that, sell them, whatever you were doing. And then, only then, once you're sure you've got a fairly clean backlink profile, file a reconsideration request. Now, that said, everyone's like, clean profile is pretty hard to get these days. I mean, that assumes everyone's going to get back to you when you ask them to remove a link, which is not entirely realistic.
It's pretty unlikely, yeah.
Yeah. So in those cases, you want to say in your reconsideration request, look, I've contacted these people. We did not buy these links. These are not anything we can control, and they will not remove the links. Can you please can take that into consideration? And Google will. I don't know how many. It's kind of an imperfect science, but it is stated quite boldly that that's something you should do. So, hey, they're asking for it. That seems like a good entry point. And then he says, if you do it quickly enough, once you get that link warning, then you might be able to prevent a drop. Now, Matt Cutts has said stuff before that they've kind of gone back on. So it may be, too, that they get overwhelmed with all this stuff and the likelihood of getting fixed before the drop hits is we get less and less likely as they get sort of tons and tons of these requests. But for now, that's the word, and it's a good one. I like the idea that you can actually beat out the link drop before you get it. Now, all this is about the fact that if you get an unnatural link warning, your rankings don't drop right away. It does take time, and but it is a precursor to having it happen. I've repeated myself enough. I hope that came across well. Now, getting back to the main issue here, Penguin 1.1 is something that's coming up. We all know it's going to be happening. Everyone's waiting to see the refresh because a lot of people who are hit have made changes to their site. They're now wanting to see whether or not it is really going to make any difference. Unfortunately, no one knows. So if you ever hear anyone right now saying, this is what you need to do to get out of Penguin, I know it works. They're not correct. It's maybe they think it works, or it makes sense it works, or even it's that Google said this should work, but no one knows, quote unquote, because simple fact is no one knows because it hasn't come around yet. No one's had a chance to see whether or not their fixes have improved things. So it's a good BS filter if you're getting some cold calls or something like that, which I'm sure a lot of people do. Have you found Penguin, Scott?
You know, I've been pretty lucky. I don't think any of our clients have been hit by it. I mean, I shouldn't say think. I know none of them have really been hit by it, aside from new clients that have come to us to say, help, what's going on? My rankings have dropped. I need your help. So we've been fortunate. I think it all comes down to, you know, if you play all white hat, you're not going to get killed by these updates when they hit. So I think that's probably a good lesson there. You know, play it safe and you should be okay long term.
Yeah, one of the things I really liked that John was telling me one day, I can't remember whether we said it on the air or not, but it was really well put. So if you think of a black and white hat, and what happened with the Penguin is essentially in the middle, the gray area was where a lot of people were marketing because they could get away with it and it was working. Well, what Google did is they turned up the gain. So essentially that black is now where the gray was, and it's you've got a lot less room now to do any kind of the tactics that worked before. And it makes perfect sense. You know, they're going to continue. Obviously, it's their goal to continue increasing the gain to the point where there's nothing but white that works.
You know, I have to wonder, too, because I know Penguin, you know, a lot of it has to do with shady links and that sort of thing. And I have to wonder how much of it is Google looking at the links and saying this is bad and you're getting penalized, or how much is – or not penalized, wrong choice of words, but you're being affected negatively. Or is it Google's looking at the links – and just discounting them now, whereas they used to count them before. So even just, you know, I wonder how much you actually have to go out and look at removing these bad links. How important really is that? And again, we don't really know until, you know, the next, you know, Penguin 1.1 comes out.
Well, from what we know of everyone I've listened, read anything online, it's fairly established that Google is, actually when it comes to links, they are. It is a penalty. That's why you can do a reconsideration request. The algorithmic, you know, over quote unquote over optimization or adding too much optimization to your site is Penguin. So, you know, for links, it is a penalty. You know, they are penalizing because you've got these bad links. Obviously, if they're really low quality, I guess that would fall into the Penguin area. But from what we know so far, they're literally asking us to fix these things. In my opinion, and here's another thing I thought was funny, Danny Sullivan did jumped into a discussion on SEObook.com with Aaron Wall and a couple other rather knowledgeable people on the SEO book community. And when he did that, he said that, you know, he did a follow up write up, and he said that he found it quite interesting that one of the people recommended that there'd be a way to advise Google of links you don't want to be associated with. Well, I think you should listen to our show because we covered that last week. Or at least I did mention it. Now, in that case, I've actually been thinking a little further about that, and I believe that what it should be is there should be a section within Google Webmaster Tools that allows us to submit URLs we do not want to be connected with but are linking to us. This would almost completely remove any possibility of, what are they calling it now?
Negative SEO?
Negative SEO, thank you. Of negative SEO. Now, doesn't that seem smart? You'd think from a Google's perspective, that would just be the simplest way to remove that entire issue. It's very fair. If someone's got links pointing to you, you don't want to be associated with, well, if you can't get them removed, they should have some recourse. I just don't see a downside, do you?
I see absolutely no downside. And when you look at the backlinks that Google actually shows you in Webmaster Tools, throw a little checkbox in there and have a drop-down option that you can say, disregard this link or something like that. It's so simple. Such an easy solution that would make everybody happy. And there's really no way that you can negatively game that unless, you know, you hack somebody else's account. I guess that would be the only potential problem. But really, you know, it just makes sense.
Yeah, and it would highlight anyone who's trying to game the system really quickly because they wouldn't have noted it, that this is something that I want to be connected with. Now, that said, of course, someone could just do a negative campaign and you wouldn't necessarily be checking your links every day. But it at least gives you some tool to work with. Right now, we got nothing.
It's a lot easier than, oh, my rankings dropped. What's going on? Let's go take a look now. And then wait a month and then do a reconsideration request. Like, it's just, it takes a lot of work out of it.
Yeah, and here's the punchline of fearsome magnitude. A lot of people just shuddered when they heard this. This is quote-unquote from Matt Cutts. If you've cleaned your site, or if you've cleaned and still don't recover, of course, they're talking about the website, ultimately, you might need to start all over with a fresh site. Oh, my God.
That's brutal. That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Of course, that's unquote there. I just can't fathom that. It's not right. And obviously, if someone's been gaming it heavily, well, that makes sense. But in a lot of these cases, and I think this was actually another issue that was brought up on the SEO book thing, which I was nodding my head furiously about. And everyone who's been listening to the show knows I'm very sensitive to small businesses' needs. They cannot necessarily respond to these quickly if they're behind the times. Yes, I know it's their own fault. They're behind the time. But the fact is a lot of small companies don't have the time to keep up to date on SEO all the time, and they don't have the money to have an SEO on staff. But they want to do something online. Maybe it's 10% of their income. Maybe it's 30%. It's still modest for them. They don't have a lot of time to invest. They don't want to lose their rankings. They don't want to have to start again. And their tactics may be a bit outdated. Well, it doesn't take that long. What is it? Maybe 5 years ago, if you were doing stuff, it would now be black? What do you think, Scott?
In some cases, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you consider that, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, one of the things that was also mentioned, again, we've covered this, but why don't they just discount all the links that they don't like? It would give no one any value. It wouldn't give any benefit to anyone doing the work. So people would be paying a lot of money for nothing. Now, I know Google wants to be malicious. Essentially, that's what they're trying to do. You know, why not just let this stuff disappear? No, we're going to be malicious and penalize sites. It just seems ridiculous.
It's brutal. Like, if you think about it, okay, you've got a legit site that's been around for 10 years, and you've got, whether it be negative SEO or stuff that you didn't know that you had done 5-6 years ago, and then you've got to dump everything, all your legit work, to start from scratch, you know, all this history and all these legit backlinks that you're never going to be able to get back. Like, let's be honest, you can go back and recontact everybody and you'll get some, but, you know, these random blog reviewers or whatever, you're going to lose a lot of legit links, and that could just bankrupt a company in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah, and although it's a very bad idea, I would say, well, of course, we always hear the worst, but many companies put all their eggs in the Google basket. And when this happens, they're out of luck. They're SOL. Because really, Google doesn't give a damn. they're too small. Unless you've got a massive account with them, they're not going to care. Now, one thing that I thought was kind of good, I didn't realize they did this because I haven't dealt with a lot of banned sites over the years, but we're certainly getting into it now, is I did have a client who their site had been banned, although I didn't think it was necessarily warranted a ban. They couldn't run Google AdWords. That's good. I was actually surprised. I kind of thought that, I mean, I'm pretty sure, Scott, that at one point, even if your site was banned, you can run AdWords, which made everyone sort of suspicious of the whole thing, right?
Oh, yeah, I think you definitely could. You definitely, even now, to a degree, I think you can probably get away with it.
Well, with a penalty, but I think if your site's been removed, you can't use AdWords.
Oh, okay, if it's actually, yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen examples of people getting away with that.
Yeah, because in this case, recently, I know at least it's in this case that they weren't allowed. They simply weren't. So, and this is silly, they were literally allowed to create a mirror of the site and start in AdWords again.
Well, didn't Google actually recommend that to them or something?
Yeah.
I think maybe, yeah.
You saw it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's wrong with that? Like, what are they doing?
So nuts. Anyways, there's a lot of stuff. I really would love to know what the logic is about being behind Google's malicious tactics. I mean, everyone's got to make a living. Some people are going to push too far. They just should, you know, they're spending money. They're wasting time if these links don't have any value. So why penalize them as well? Anyways, it'd be a good way to do that. If they can't do that, in the very least, allow us to report links we don't want to be associated with. Okay, so let's take a quick break. Sorry?
I was going to say maybe Matt's listening and he'll write that down and pass it on to somebody.
I'd like to. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for Google, but when it comes to stuff like this and lately, I think they've got some work to do around their whole, I don't know. It's like a culture of hurting businesses when really they should just devalue what they're doing if they're doing bad stuff. Anyways, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to touch on a few other issues, including Google Places and some warnings for WordPress users. Brasco!
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Rise, links, and web indexes. Take a bow to the largest link map in the world. Majestic SEO. Majestic SEO wields its virtual sword with speed and accuracy to deliver detailed reports of your company's link data and that of your competition. Let Majestic SEO make you your own king of internet marketers and join the crusade of clients and agencies that have chosen the noble choice for link intelligence. MajesticSEO.com. Maximize ROI to use your time and let Majestic wield its mighty sword. MajesticSEO.com. It's good to be king.
How far do your ads reach? You don't have to fly around the world for the right consumers and clients to find your business. What you need is profit through performance. Location 3 Media helps you to increase your brand's findability and performance. Let Location 3 Media help you create efficient and effective online marketing campaigns that fit your needs and get you results. We know every click starts a journey. Where will your brand be on the path? Visit Location3Media.com.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrand.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Blog, blog, blog.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're the talk of the town.
WebmasterRadio.fm. Thanks for listening.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by, in this case, Scott Van Ack, Senior SEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing. It's the Stepforth Show. Ah, I love it. Okay, but I do miss John. He's going to be back next week, which will be good, so we can get some additional perspective outside of the Stepforth universe. I understand Scott's got a good joke right here. It's not a knock-knock.
Well, I spent that whole commercial break trying to find an SEO joke, and I couldn't really find any good ones. But the best I could find is, Ross, what do black hat SEOs eat on Thanksgiving?
Let's jump into something else here. Bing is rolling out a new look. It's just a quick little side note here. It's using a third column now within Bing Search. It's only going to be rolled out to the States for the first bit. I'm not even sure when the rollout exactly happens. Let me just check that. Have you seen anything on this yet, Scott?
You know, I saw it, I don't know, last week sometime, and I was trying to pull it up, and I don't have the link in front of me. I have it on paper in front of me, and it's way too long for me to type in. I should have brought it up before we got chatting here.
Well, no worries. No, it's the idea is it's going to integrate social, and I kind of like it. They've got a video of it on the actually you can go to Search Engine Land, and of course it's noted there, and they've got a link to the video. But I think of the standard two columns. You've got the main column, which has search results, organic mixed with a bit of paid, and then on the right side, or middle in this case now, paid ads, just like Google. I mean, Bing looks like Google now. They've made so much changes. But this is the new add-on, which is on the right side, you'll be logged into Facebook. And it's a fairly dark gray column on the very far side. And let's say you're working on something, you're doing some searches on Costa Rica, in this case, they use an example of. I guess what happens is anything related to that will show up. Anyone talking about Costa Rica or anything like that will show up in the Facebook list, and you can ask them questions. Perhaps they were just there, that kind of thing. It's kind of neat. I think Bing is doing some really smart things. They're not totally alienating everyone like Google seems to be doing right now. And I think it's got some potential. You know, this is where Bing is being smart. They're leveraging the one thing Google doesn't have and won't have, and that's that really tight connection with Facebook, because, well, Facebook and Google are mortal enemies, so it's good to see Bing leveraging some of the stuff it has. How well it'll work, who knows, but I hunch it's not going to be too bad. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, and if they've got access to all the data or a lot of the data on Facebook, it would work out quite well.
So what you're telling me is I should keep an eye out for my privacy settings in Facebook so that when I do a search in Bing, it doesn't automatically show up as my status update?
Yeah.
Just wait for it. It'll come.
Oh, God, what a nightmare.
Scott, just search for this at Bing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's not say what this is yet after hours.
Right. No. It's only 5 o'clock. It's a family show, right? So
Of course. Family show, right. So in any case, it's going to be good. I think I heard someone had actually fully switched to Bing recently. Pretty epic.
Really? Was it Bill Gates?
No, it was one of the larger names in our industry. I don't want to speak out of turn. I think it might have been Andy Beal. I'm not sure, though. In any case, I was pretty impressed. And he said, I think it was Andy. Yeah, he said that he hasn't really found, he's missed it. Bing's got some good stuff. I mean, it is pretty good now. I mean, it's got great searches. It doesn't have nearly the size of index Google has, though. I mean, so you really are missing out on content. I mean, it's not even remotely close. So unfortunately, at this point, it's behind the eight ball. But it did absolutely, we talked about this last week, massively change its size of its index. I think it tripled in 1 week, which is pretty incredible. That was missing a sizable tech upgrade.
Well, that's impressive. So, maybe they're getting their act together.
Maybe. Now, a key finding here is that there's a warning for WordPress users. Some plugins are inserting hidden links. This is big news. You do not want to end up having any of these plugins. I'm going to quickly rattle them off, but I'm also going to include a link to it on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/SEO101podcast. Here we go. See if any of these ring a bell. The YD recent posts widget, easy mashable social bar, custom contact forms, vSlider, Easy Popular Posts, High Slide 4 WordPress Reloaded, Share Buttons by Lockers, Add to Any, All-in-One Webmaster, Tweet Retweet Post, Visitor Like or Dislike Post Rating, Last Year Widget, KNXDT Bookmarks, Anup Raj, Tell Friends, Post Videos and Photo Galleries, Collapsing Categories, Rax, Google Language Translator, Rax, Twitter Share Tweet Button and Counter, IGIT Follow Me After Post Button, RO Social Bookmarks, and Contera. I know, it's a long list, but I didn't want anyone to miss this in case they're on the road and they go, oh my God, I've got that. If you do, either check to see if they've got a new update, because I imagine this is giving them some pretty bad press, or just remove it entirely, because if it's including hidden text on your site, you could get penalized by Penguin Update and lose a ton of rankings because they did this. That's devastating. Any of these ring a bell for you, Scott?
You know, I looked through this list pretty carefully, and I don't think I've encountered any of these with myself or any clients, so I think I'm good. But definitely on my list to check out and confirm, though, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, the one that I don't know whether it has any connection with custom or constant contact, but custom contact forms. No, I can't. I think it's just the CC thing. But anyway, custom contact forms sounds like something a lot of people would use of all the things here. That and the like and dislike post rating.
The one thing that kind of catches my eye a bit is, you know, in the past I've used all-in-one SEO and I see all-in-one webmaster, and I'm wondering if there's any connection between the two.
Mm.
And I don't know. Well, I'm definitely going to look into that.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think that there really there's any copyright stuff on that. You know, I think you can name your thing anything. You could make it sound a lot like one that's popular and get a lot of listener or a lot of users pretty quickly. So I'd be surprised if they're connected, but it's pretty sneaky.
Yeah.
Now, this is funny. Thank you, Mike DeWolf. I know you're listening. And thanks for the post about this particular piece of news on the island here. We're on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, Canada. And it's about this one area called Oceanside, which is in Parksville. They are frustrated that they are not being found another term, Oceanside, on search engines. Now, just so you understand this, this is an entire area. A fairly substantial area on our island here. And they have now decided that they're considering rebranding because they don't have a top ranking for the phrase.
Why don't they just hire us?
Well, yeah, I was thinking, how much would they save just getting someone that could get them the ranking they need versus rebranding an entire community?
Yeah, I just don't see how that could be smart. I really don't. And then, still, I mean, there's so many problems with this. It's a one-word phrase, first of all, good luck. And it's so general, you know, like Oceanside. Well, that could be anything, right?
Yeah, and apparently there's Oceanside, California. Granted, it's going to be hard to compete with that, but there's no reason that they can't be number two or three. You're not number one, but you know, with some work, they could be in the top for that phrase. At least I don't see why they couldn't. It just takes hard some work. So, yeah, I think, Scotty, we're going to have to give them a call.
Yeah, I'll get on that. I'll get Ashley to give him a call.
Yeah,
call the mayor or whatever. Yeah,
and Mike aptly put that this feels like the tail is wagging the dog, and it's exactly right. I mean, they're really not thinking this the right way. Anyway, I was sitting my jaw on the floor, seeing them talk about changing an entire community's name because they're not getting a top ranking. Wow. Anyway, pretty interesting how things change these days. Now, we're jumping into some questions here now. Here's a question from John, and or for John, I should say, from Justin Walmsley. Sorry, Justin. I butchered that pretty good. We've already posted the answer in the forum, just so you know. But he says, hey, John, you mentioned in the last podcast an article or blog predicting what might happen to Facebook and YouTube, etc., in the next 5 years. Do you have a link for that? It might be an interesting read. Yes, we do have a link for it. It's our Forbes article, and we did post it on our Facebook page. So check that out. Just look for the comment or question from Justin Walmsley. And the way they've got the timeline set up now, I believe everyone sees comments or posts from fellow communities, community members on the right side. I can't stand that, but it is at this point. Another thing is Matthew Dixon. He says, on your next show, I was curious if you might cover how the hosting location of a site affects global rankings. Okay. So I actually talked at length of this with John Carcutt, but because it really requires various experience with various sizes of sites, where they're hosted. A lot of my sites are hosted, or clients are hosted in the States, so, and they're American clients, so they don't really see a big difference. Now, back in the day when I was, a couple of years ago, I guess now, but I was speaking with some of the engineers from Bing, they had a criteria on how to position content. So in other words, they would look at your content and they try to determine whether or not it's localized by looking at these particular elements. Now, I'm trying to do this by memory. I do have an article somewhere on the Stepforce site, but it listed the first thing they looked at was, believe it or not, the location code in the header of your document. It just blows my mind. But anyways, they do. That trumps all. So if you have something there that's not correct, not something you want, you could be found for an entirely different area. It doesn't matter where you're hosted. So they'd also look at where you're hosted. But that was really, really far down the line, because they do know that a lot of people host foreign just to save money. I know in Canada, a lot of us host in the States if we're trying to work on the cheap, because things are a little bit cheaper out that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Scott, what other things would you think would be important? I'm going to try and bring up that Bing article so I can be a little more accurate.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure that the hosting location of the server makes a huge difference, because, like, I know for my own personal reasons, like, I've got a website devoted to the area that I live in, and I'm in Canada, and my site is hosted in the States, and my site ranks really well. So if the server actually played a role, that wouldn't exist. But then I have to wonder, if you've got a more competitive area, like, let's say you've got a website devoted to New York City or something, and everybody's hosted in New York, and then your site is hosted in Kazakhstan or something. I don't know. You know, maybe you're you might be hooped there. Maybe Google's going to look at that and actually give them more priority because of their hosting. But, you know, I just don't think it really makes much of a difference, to tell you the truth. I really don't.
It's really low on the rung. I do know that, and I figures I can't find this right here. When I do find it, I'll post it on our Facebook page, on the SEO 101 Facebook page. So don't worry, it will be there. But it came out with one of their big announcements, and I remember speaking to this guy who wasn't the most polite Microsoft guy, kind of. Anyway, in fact, he promised I'd be able to talk to, he'd get me in touch with someone so I could have an interview and bring them on the show. And of course, he never got back to me. His name was Francois, I think, or something. Anyway,
what a guy.
Yeah. But he did mention that they were going to do this, that code in the header of the document, and this isn't behind, this is not visible code, this is the stuff you see when you click view and source on the page, would make a major impact on where a site got ranked. Or in terms of locality, and it just blew my mind. A lot of people don't know that, and I imagine a lot of people are making mistakes that way. In any case, it's something to consider, but at least you don't have to worry about your hosting. Unless you've got absolutely no other social signal, it's not going to make a big difference.
You know, one thing that makes me wonder, though, I wonder if it does make a difference if you're hosted somewhere that's known for having a lot of black hat and spam. Like, I don't like to single out countries, but, you know, Russia, like, I get so much email spam from Russia, and when you see a .ru, I, like, never click on it. And so I wonder if you were hosted in Russia, if that would possibly have negative repercussions. But again, that's just speculation. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good point. I imagine, you know, if you're hosted in Nigeria, you may have some issues.
Yeah. Your customers aren't going to be putting in their credit card info anyways.
For those who don't know, we're just joking about the Nigerian money scam that I imagine, unless you haven't been on email at all in your life, you may not know about it. But other than that, you probably receive your own money scam. In fact, I've got one on my wall because I just get a laugh out of it every time. It says, and I just love the English here. Before the death of our client, he deposited the sum of USD $22 billion.
Awesome.
He is here in our bank vault. Documentations requiring these indicate that claims must be over. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, they're just priceless. Upon your acceptance to cooperate with me, I guarantee that 40% of this money will be for you. And they go on and on. And the thing is, it got people. People fell for it.
you know what? I'm embarrassed to say this, but my dad got one of those in the mail, like actually snail mail, Nigerian money scam letters. And he was talking to me about it. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'll just contact them. I won't send them any money and I'll just see. You never know. And I'm like, Dad, you do know it's a scam. Don't contact them. He's like, well, you don't know that because you haven't talked to them. I'm like, oh my God. I was just like losing it. I was having this big argument with him. It's like, I don't know. Like, some people are pretty gullible, and I never thought my dad was one of them, but apparently he is. So at least he's computer illiterate. He doesn't even know how to turn on a computer, so it puts him a little bit more at distance from these guys. So that's a good thing.
All he needs to do is write a check. That's the scary thing.
Oh, it freaks me out, man.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll tie up the show with a couple of other questions. Thank you.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I sign us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text radio to 21691. That's radio to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brad Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
MySEOTool.com is your all-in-one SEO management resource. MySEOTool.com makes it easy to optimize and oversee all of your SEO efforts. Line-by-line detailed reports help you identify any problems and show you how to fix them. MySEOTool.com is completely automated. Once you use it, you will see a rise in your search rankings and traffic. Tool risk-free today. Go to MySEOTool.com. MySEOTool.com.
Just getting your feet wet on the internet? Then dive into our stream.
Webmasterradio.fm.
We're the coolest place around. Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Okay, class. Take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on Webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm with today's special co-host, Scott Van Ack, Senior SEO of Step Forth Web Marketing, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Step Forth Web Marketing. For the break, we're discussing a few questions we were given, and I actually lied. I thought I had a few more questions to answer, but I don't. But I do have something that I noticed online here. Now, Jill Whalen is a popular person in our industry, and she's obviously often got a lot of people asking questions, and she's got her own forum. And I don't know, sometimes her vehemence towards anyone not following the guidelines irks me a bit. But anyways, she says, and I want to debunk this to a degree, she says, how do we know about unnatural links to our website? That's a question someone had. She says her answer is you can use backlink checker tools to find some of them, or ask the jerk spammer company who purchased them for you. Sort of half smiley face. Now, that irritates me because the fact is that's not always the case. I know she's probably all dressed in white at all times, but anyways, the fact is some companies, and this is what I've been facing with lately, I've been dealing with these people who didn't buy links. They didn't. What they did do is they connected with someone, and they did. First of all, they had a very small link profile. They don't have a lot of links. Now, in those cases, all it takes is for you to have one really bad set of links, and that'll give you an unnatural link profile. In this case, someone who liked them gave them a link, but they gave them a link from every page on their site. They didn't buy this link. They just loved them and wanted to give them a link, and that was the chief reason that I could tell, other than a bit of stuff on their own site that needed some work, that got them, had them hit by this ranking change and got them an unnatural link warning. So, you know, I dispute that it's always always a spamming company who purchased them. Agreed. I agree that there's a lot of those out there. God knows that. Especially if anyone buys anything from Fiverr.com, God help you. For links, that is. I don't know, Scott, what do you think of that?
It bugs the heck out of me, you know, like these site-wide links, whether they're good, whether they're legit or not, it just drives me crazy. Like, what happened to, you know, everyone with a blog and having their blog role linking to everybody that they loved? And it's totally legit, but yet now people can get totally burned for it if they don't have a ton of other links that they've built up as well, which, I don't know, it comes back to Google should just discount the links if they don't like them.
Yeah, exactly. And then, really, then everyone has to survive on their own merit anyway. So what's the point of doing anything else? It just, anyway, very irritating. I guess I've shown my irritation well in this episode. but yes, when it comes to how to find the unnatural links, it's a very good question. Backlink checker tools, there's a bit of a vague answer. I don't know why she didn't add any more there, but in this case, I would say you would want to go to somewhere like Majestic SEO, which has got one of the actually sponsors of this program, but also, and we use that meticulously all the time. SEO Moj has a really good one as well, Open Site Explorer.
Even Webmaster Tools, you'll see them in there sometimes.
That's true. Yeah, if they're linking to you, that's correct.
Yeah.
I keep thinking about other people, but yeah, that's correct. Now, the benefit, if you've got one of these other tools, is you can use it to look at your competitors and find out where they got their links, their good links. That's what I always think of those other tools for. So, you know, keep that in mind. There are tools out there. You can also, if you have any questions or you want to give us a call, we can help you out. We're working with a lot of businesses right now that have called us up and need a little help to get out of the doghouse, and you know, we're good at that. So hopefully we can help out someone who doesn't have the time to deal with them themselves. But again, if you need help, also look elsewhere. If you want to do it yourself, there's Search Engine Land, there's Search Engine Roundtable. Those are the two places I spend most of my time if I'm looking on the latest news. Barry Schwartz is like fanatically up to date on anything that's going on. It's fantastic. SEO Book as well, Aaron Wall. These are all really great resources. SEO Moz, you've got all the main guys there, and you're bound to get the information you need. It just takes a lot of reading and a bit of experience to see through some of the lines. I find, I don't know, Scott, how about you? But I mean, when I read these things, I find like, okay, no, that's true, but do you think of this? Or, you know, there's only so much that if you're not at least a bit experienced in SEO, you may miss something.
Yeah, a lot of it definitely comes down to just experience, you know, like you won't pick up everything that you need just by reading articles. You really don't. You pick it up by doing things and experimenting, and over time, hands-on stuff is really what gives you the full picture. So yeah, you get the basic fundamentals and stuff, and the news stories and that sort of stuff, but you're never going to really know fully what you need to do.
Hey, very true, and I find too it's all about interpretation, and there's too many. Being a writer myself, I find that I'm always trying to think, okay, well, what if they think this and what if they think that? I can't do that all the time. I find I get into gridlock, so I just write. And I know there's things I've left out, but I just can't fit them all unless I'm going to write. It's all a matter of interpretation. You may read something that a person meant entirely differently. And if you implement it without doing further research or talking to someone that perhaps has more experience, you can make a mistake. So just be very careful. Double check everything. There's no reason you can't do it yourself. Just make sure you do a lot of VAC research, and maybe even go into one of these forums and ask a question.
And I would say if you ever have something you want to try to find as many people writing about it to back that point up, because you don't really know who's writing it. The guy that's writing the article, maybe he's completely way off, and you know, you take it as the world and you go and implement this tactic and then you're screwed. So make sure more than one person says that it's a good idea.
Amen. Good Lord. I see so much stuff out there that I'm like, who is this SEO? I've never heard of them. And that doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing, but I'm always more skeptical unless I've seen someone else mention it and or I can prove it myself. There's a lot of so-called SEOs that do not have the experience and should not be giving advice professionally, never mind publicly.
I find it's kind of scary how frequently I'll find a brand new article that's just put out by some random guy, and he talks about how to optimize your keyword meta tag. And it's like, oh no, like where's this guy coming from? Like,
I agree. I think that you know, there's a lot of people out there who are putting out garbage, and they just don't know what's going on. For everyone else out there, you should know the keyword meta tag is absolutely useless now. If anything, if you have it, it has a higher chance of giving you a penalty if it's got any issues with over-optimization and stuffing. Yeah. Yes, back to your joke, yeah.
keyword stuffing, yum.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's tie things up. I think it was a good show, and thank you very much for stepping in, Scott.
Yeah, anytime. It's been fun.
Good.
I lost a bit of air, but that's all right.
Yes, it has been a bit dead on the air, hasn't it? Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and Scott Van Ack, Senior SEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, thanks for joining us today. If you'd like to contact myself, my email address is ross@stepforth.com. And I do my best to get back to you as soon as possible. So that's ross@stepforth.com. So thank you for joining us today on SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. We're live every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And we hope you tune into our show next week. Have a great week, everyone.